And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Oh. We're here again.
Oh, man.
Happy early Christmas.
Yes, sir.
And happy Hanukkah.
Oh,
just
man.
Found out this morning that today is part of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends.
Yes.
But how are you feeling, Braden?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was fantastic.
That's good.
Love it. Family and food. You can't get much better than that.
I feel like that's a recipe to a good life. Family and food. That's all you really need.
It's true.
And jazz basketball, of course.
Yes, of course. And thanks for listening to us getting your jazz fix. Today we've got an awesome episode ahead of us.
Yes, sir.
It's been a couple weeks since our last episode, so we're going to catch you up on all the games in the past 2 weeks through Thanksgiving till now. And kind of where the Jazz stand and also our predictions.
Yep.
We also got our player of the week. There's a few contenders this week, so we'll see who wins it this week. And then some Jazz news, some guys going to the G League, interview with Taylor Hendricks that just happened, and also just some draft news about Dylan Harper and him potentially coming to the Jazz. And of course, the NBA Cup is coming up, so we're going to talk about that and end it off with some local sports.
Yeah, just don't forget to check us out on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there. We are grateful for all of you that listen to our podcast this year. We saw our Spotify Wrapped, so don't forget to check us out there. You can also find us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz, and this is episode 53 of Tuned In Jazz.
One cool note, we did have our Spotify Wrapped.
Yes, we did.
Tuned In Jazz podcast, been listening to in 8 different countries.
Yes,
what do you
sir.
Think about that?
That's pretty sick. That is pretty dope. I wonder how they found it, but we're grateful you're here. We're grateful you're here.
Jazz fans are global.
Yes, sir.
Especially in Finland, because our boy Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, that's true.
So
we got a lot of influence right now. Yeah. We got Australia with Patty Mills. And,
yep.
Who else we got?
Oscar Shibuya.
Yeah, he's from Africa.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. There, so we're global.
Pretty dope. I think we were like, I don't remember the exact number, but we were in some people's top 5. We were some people's number 1. Just a couple, but we're grateful for everybody that listens and makes this year.
And even if you're not listening on Spotify, we're also grateful for you as well.
That's right.
But this episode, we're going through, I think, seven or eight different games from the past couple weeks. I don't know if we got time to really dive into all of them.
Plus, we were a whopping, I think, 2-5 is what I count, maybe 2-6.
Which is kind of what we expected.
Yeah.
And so we're on pace
we're
expecting.
Yeah, it's on par.
So let's talk about the wins first. How about that?
Yeah, let's do.
We beat the Knicks at home.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
Yeah, neither of us predicted this one.
I thought it was maybe going to be close, but no, the Jazz like handily won.
Yeah.
Pretty good game. I kind of felt like in this game I was like, are we trying to win now? Like, are we stopped tanking? But hey, Lauri Markkanen went off.
Yeah.
Good to see that. It he has 34 points, but
he's been due for a game like that.
Exactly.
I also feel like the Knicks are kind of just like, we're just waiting for the Knicks to wake up. Like, they're just trying to figure out their new, like, low-key, they kind of just, like, their whole roster just kind of changed. Not the whole roster, but a lot of it. I feel like they're just trying to wake up, so they're going to get a couple losses like this early. I think we're a quarter of the way through the season now.
Yeah.
So
they do have one of the best offenses in the NBA.
Yeah.
But their defense is kind of mid.
Yeah. When Carl Anthony Towns is your center, that's going to happen, I feel like.
So, yeah, they definitely made that sacrifice, but their offense is amazing.
Yeah.
I think in the NBA, like offensive rating wise, they're number 1 ahead of the Celtics. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Pretty insane. But we took care of business there.
Yes, sir.
And then our other win was just last night.
Yeah, huge.
Against the Trailblazers.
Oh,
we won
gosh,
by 42, 141-99.
Yeah.
I think I saw something on the broadcast. I don't know how long the streak was, but the Jazz had the longest active streak of allowing 100 points every game to their opponent.
Oh, we were just barely under?
And they only scored 99.
Dang.
So I don't know how long the streak was. I think it was like 30 or something.
Oh, but my gosh.
Finally, dude, broke the streak. And yeah, also for a road game, holding them to under 100.
That's killer, yeah.
So I didn't know that streak was happening.
Yeah,
thanks to the broadcast. But at least we broke it, right? They only scored 99. We killed the Trailblazers.
Yeah. We both predicted a loss here, but I think we both thought it was going to be close.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blazers, young team. We're a young team. We can get hot on a random night.
So, yeah. What I love about this game, like, Lauri Markkanen didn't even play, and they still, like, were really good. John Collins had 20. Johnny Juzang had 22 because he made 6 3-pointers.
Yeah, he's hooping.
And they played 10 guys, and they all, like, played pretty equal minutes. There weren't really, like, guys that were heavy starters. Everybody was playing, and everybody was hooping.
Yeah.
Isaiah Collier, he had 12 points and 7 assists. He was dishing the ball to everybody.
Let's go. You love to see
the
that.
The rest, almost every single player except Micah Potter, scored 10 or more points. A lot of guys more like 15 to 20. So I just love, this is like probably the biggest team win we've had all year.
Yeah, honestly.
And I mean, you're scoring 140 points. You're going to win every night.
Oh, yeah.
So
unless you're the Indiana Pacers, but we're not them.
Sometimes that's true. But hey, for this Jazz team, we score 141 points. We're going to win that every game.
Absolutely.
And then defensively, we did a really good job, too. I love to see the effort there. And Walker Kessler, man, he had 13 points and 17 rebounds.
Oh, man.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, he's been balling.
And 5 blocks. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know about you, but I've started to think that Walker Kessler is the center of the future.
I think so.
Through 20 games.
I think so.
If he keeps this up, he's kind of got that spot for me. But yeah, he's been playing really well. But any other notes from the wins?
Oh, man, yeah, just great. I'm glad we got 2 wins. This is kind of the pace we want to be on. We don't want to, like, lose it. We don't want to be last year's Pistons losing 30 games in a row. We want to get a couple of wins. That gives us our players experience, I think, better than just losing all of our games. And so,
yeah, and I mean, the lottery odds are not super different.
Yeah.
For, like, the bottom one team versus, like, some of the bottom middle teams.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just looking it up. The bottom 3 teams all have a 14% chance.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth has a 12.5. 5 has a 10.5% at the number 1 pick. So, like, ideally, we want to be bottom 3.
Yeah.
But, which is exactly where we're at right now, by the way. We're just barely ahead of Charlotte.
Yep.
But it can mean that we can win some games.
Absolutely.
We don't have to be the Wizards.
Nope.
We don't have to be the... And the Pelicans are below us, right? They might win a couple more games
when
they get back from injury. I mean, this is the perfect pace. We're in bottom 3, and let's just stay there.
Yeah, I saw ESPN post an article this week. It was like, there was just their prediction. Right now, they have the Jazz at the second best, like, draft scenario. They have us with a 13% chance of getting the number 1 pick and an 80% chance of being in the top 5, which is right where we want to be. So, we'll just sit in that little pocket. We'll win a couple games every week and we'll be all right.
I know some Jazz fans are saying, I've seen, like, Tony Jones, I think he had an article about this, that the biggest thing that's getting in the way of the Jazz really tanking is Will Hardy.
I think so.
I don't know what you would say about that, but just because Will Hardy's been, like, a really good coach to kind of get the most out of very little.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think the biggest question mark this season will be, will we tank enough to stay bottom 3, or will Will Hardy figure out the team enough to make us a little bit too good?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Will Hardy's the biggest thing in the way of tanking right now?
Yeah, I could agree. I feel good about my prediction beginning of the season that this would be his last season as the Jazz coach, just because, like, I originally thought it was going to be because he'd be tired of losing on his resume, but also, I don't know. I guess it'll depend, but
I think he's sticking around. I think he's in here for the long haul, because he has a big relationship with a lot of the players too.
Yeah.
So I could see that, like, being the reason he wants to stay around.
Yeah. I could just see if, like, a rebuild doesn't work. I can't imagine that 3 seasons like he's had are going to look good on his resume, especially if you want to keep adding more like this, you know. So it'd be interesting, yeah.
Well, we can talk about some losing.
Yes.
Because we did too,
unfortunately.
We got 5 losses, it looks like.
I think so.
So, I mean, I think the biggest loss that stands out to me is the Lakers.
Yeah. Oh.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Jeez.
So I'll just recap. We watched this highlight before recording, but the Jazz were down by 1. LeBron misses a 3, so we have the chance to win the game.
Yep.
Colin Sexton was like kind of frantically dribbling.
A little bit.
And then he drove to the paint, and right before he hits the layup, the Jazz call timeout. Layup goes in, doesn't count.
yeah.
What was your reaction? Were you watching this live?
I was, yeah. I think watching it live, you're kind of like, wait, what the heck? You're like so in the game that you're
like frustrated, like dang.
Yeah, when I watch it back though, Will Hardy talked about how he called the timeout earlier, but it was so loud in there. So I guess that he didn't intend for it to end up like that. Also, I think had the whistle not been called, I think Anthony Davis might have blocked it or at least contested it because he was right there and just didn't jump.
In like the press conference, Anthony Davis said he wasn't even trying to defend it.
He heard the whistle, yeah.
So play was stopped.
So it does look really bad on Will Hardy though.
Like there's a chance like maybe they didn't blow the whistle. Like Anthony Davis could have swatted that.
I think he could have. Yeah.
So like I don't think it's as blatant as you might think. Like, man, we timeout lost us the game, but it is frustrating a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to see LeBron get another loss in Utah.
Right.
Guess it wouldn't be that night.
Yeah, honestly.
But we played a pretty good game.
Yeah, we played them close. Lakers are kind of
falling apart.
Seems like they're falling apart. They were looking really nice for a second. And it's not looking great for the Lakers.
Yeah.
I did have a chance to go to the Spurs NBA Cup game.
Ooh, how'd you like the court and the jerseys and all that?
The court looked really nice. So did the jerseys. It was kind of just a nice vibe with the... I feel like I could see the floor better with it, like...
Yeah.
Like looking like that, it was pretty cool. Kind of a tough loss. We were in that game for a little while, though, against the Spurs.
It's a very close game.
Yeah, Wemby just had a night. I mean, he's just turning into... He's going to be the best player in the league here pretty soon. But he's getting
starting to hit threes, too.
Yeah,
like he wasn't hitting threes that well to start the season. Now he's starting to hit some.
Yeah. And he just, like, changes the entire way that we run our offense. I'm sure we're not the only ones, like... We just like totally avoid the paint when he's there because there's just like no hope. It's like it's kind of insane, actually.
It's like when you're a kid in recess and you just there's like a kid that's like a foot taller than you. And you have no chance. You just have to shoot.
Yeah, or it's like one of those videos with NBA players playing with little kids and they're like blocking every shot. You know, it's like that's kind of what Wemby is right now.
It's just not like, fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's been really good.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. We were in it, but you know. I guess that's whatever.
Yeah, we also played Denver, OKC, and Dallas.
Yeah.
I will say, to me, these games are a little bit forgettable.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's okay for me to say that.
Absolutely.
Micah Potter has been playing some minutes in these games because of some like injuries and guys going to the G League. I think Kyle Filipowski was injured for a good bit of this stretch.
Yeah.
But he's playing in the G League now a little bit and he'll be back pretty soon. Cody Williams been in the G League too.
Yeah, he's hooping.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with their scores, but it seems like they're playing well.
Yeah, Cody Williams he's only played in one game so far, but he had 18 points in that game. Pretty good. Took 18 shots on four. So not
very
crazy
solid.
Efficient, but maybe it'll give him a little confidence and whatever.
Yeah,
it sounds like...
Definitely the guys in the G League are not as good defenders.
No, yeah.
But it gives you some good experience.
They work hard, though, yeah. I think it sounds like Kyle Filipowski is not like a... Sounds like Cody Williams is going to be there for the long haul, it sounds like, to me. Sounds like Filipowski is probably just like a couple of games. So kind of interesting that our lottery pick is the one that's like being sent down. But
yeah, I mean... Taylor Hendricks spent a good amount of time in the G League last year. I think that helped him a lot, as well as I think Bryce Sensabaugh probably spent the most time. And I think he's gained a lot of confidence through that. So that's really what we've been saying about Cody. Like last episode, we were just talking about like when do we lose patience in him? Right. Like when is he going to like start being more aggressive?
Yeah.
Maybe the G League is the the way for him to gain more confidence and build that up. So I'm down for it as long as it helps him in his progression.
Yeah.
Unlike Bronny James, like he's not even playing in the G League. How is he going to get better, right? So got to play games.
We talked about the beginning of the season too, how like we just want to see these guys play. Like they need to,
right.
Like it was like Taylor Hendricks where he just sat most of last season. Like we need to see these guys. They need, like, G League will at least help them understand NBA systems and, like...
Yep.
And so, it doesn't matter if it's Isaiah Collier, Filipowski, or Cody Wibbs. We just want to see them play.
Get minutes, yep.
Yeah, so that's good.
Not necessarily throwing into the fire.
Yeah.
But get some good experience.
Absolutely.
And then I will say another thing through this stretch, we already kind of mentioned just Walker Kessler. I think he needs another shout out.
Thupin,
just he's been getting double doubles almost every game. Mm-hmm. The last four games in a row, he's led us in rebounding.
Yeah.
So
it's wild.
Just, he's been doing well.
Yeah. Well, that actually takes us really well into our player of the week.
Ooh, wait, did I predict? I don't know. It's your turn to pick.
It is my turn to pick, and I picked Walker Kessler.
Oh, let's go. Okay.
Five double-doubles through our last five games. And also, an interesting thing, so far this season, he's averaging his highest points, rebounds, blocks, and field goal percentage.
Let's go.
So everything that we were excited about his rookie season, I think we have like even more to be excited about. I know it's like weird that we only have four wins. It's hard to be excited about a player, but... I think he's playing really well. I think he's playing his role very well, at least. He's not, like, taking a ton of shots, but when he does, he's efficient with them. He's, like, 72% from the field, which is, like, a typical center field goal percentage.
Another interesting thing, four of his rebounds are offensive per game. That's a huge difference. And when I looked at the rebounding in the NBA, just as the Jazz versus other teams, we're, like, top 10 in rebounding for offensive, for total, for everything. So Walker Kessler is like making a huge impact on the team. We're one of the better rebounding teams because of that.
He's also averaging his highest assists, which it's only 1.4. But I still think like with the offensive rebounding, he's probably creating more opportunities for people to score.
Yeah.
So yeah, just overall a net positive for him this week and in general this season. I think he deserves some love.
I think it's becoming more prevalent in the NBA that offensive rebounding matters.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because teams used to just kind of run and gun.
Yeah.
Let's just get a fast break. But I think offensive rebounding, like the Warriors did a good job at that with Draymond and whatever centers they had.
That's why Andre Drummond's still in the league.
Andre Drummond, exactly, yeah. And I think the Thunder do a pretty good job at that. Like the Boston Celtics, they do a good job. So all the good teams, like they know how to offensive rebound. Nikola Jokic, one of the best at it, right?
Yeah. I feel like all the teams we've seen win championships in the last couple of years have had really good offensive rebounders, like Jokic, Brook Lopez, like all these guys, that's what they do, and they're really good at it.
Yeah, so shout out to Walker.
Absolutely.
Is that his first player of the week? It might be his second.
It might be.
I think he's a two-timer.
I don't remember, yeah, but he deserves it, though.
Definitely. Let's go.
Deserves it. We got... two games coming up, kind of a light workload this week, but it'll be good to give those boys a break, I guess. We start tomorrow, Sunday, the day we're recording this is Saturday, against the Kings. We're going to be at Sacramento. What are you feeling about this game?
I think it's going to be another close game. The Kings have not been playing well.
No, has been great.
As compared to last year, it seems like they're going to be outside the playoffs unless they make a trade or something.
Yeah.
So this, I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to say Kings win by four.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, Kings are currently 12th right now in the West, 11-13.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one will be a loss. I think that the Jazz are, they got their win, so now it's time for our five losses in a row.
I'm keep just on kidding. Pace.
But gut feelings just tell me this is going to be a loss, even though the Kings aren't playing very good, especially on the road. I'm going to say a loss by eight. I think it's going to be a little bit of a loss. More. So,
very fair. Yeah, the Kings, Sabonis has been playing good. Fox has been playing good, but Keegan Murray's kind of been down a little bit. A lot of their other players.
It doesn't seem really like the DeRozan experiment has been working out great so far, but
yeah, he does. It's hard to kind of fit the offense with him because he kind of is more of a slow isolation guy where everybody else is run and gun.
Yeah, he's more of a Kobe Bryant that you have to put your whole team around, and he's probably not good enough at this point in his career to be that guy. So,
and then Friday we're playing the Suns.
Yep, coming home with them boys.
Who do you have for that in the Delta Center?
I think it's going to be a loss as well, but I think this one's going to be a really close game. It seems like we always play the Suns really close, like I think of a couple last year. So I'm going to say it's going to be a loss by two. It's going to be an overtime loss. I'm going to add that to it, even though it's not
interesting. I'm complete opposite. I don't think this is going to be close. This is my biggest margin. So? I'm going to say we lose by 20.
Oh, okay. You're trying to catch up.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that Thunder game that we just had that wasn't close.
Yeah.
Suns have been on fire too, especially since Kevin Durant came back.
Yeah.
As, if he's in the lineup, I think it's going to be a tough game for the Jazz.
Yeah, I could
But I no guarantee he will be in the lineup. If he's not, then I think we could probably win or have a good chance, but
I think we forgot to update everybody on our scores. Andrew's at 307. Yep. I'm at 260. So Andrew's got some catching up to do. So that game might help you.
Do you want to remind them how we keep track?
Yeah. So we, as you might have heard every week, we predict win or loss and what point differential. And then we calculate the point differential and then we add if it's a win or loss. So So if we predict a win by two and it's a loss by 18, then we add 20 points. And so,
it's fun. I think it makes it more interesting to me because not only are we predicting win or loss, but we're kind of predicting the story of the game a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
it is fun.
So some good games coming up. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But some Jazz news did come out this week that is near and dear to our heart. Last week, Rodney Hood retired.
Oh, man.
This week, another Jazz man retired, Paul Millsap.
Dude.
We love Paul Millsap over here in
the Jazz.
Dude,
I swear if Joe Ingles retires next week, I'm quitting the podcast. This is ridiculous at this point.
It could happen in the next year, too.
Yeah, it is so sad. I mean, he had such a good NBA career, though.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Millsap, he had a great stint with the Jazz. I don't think he made an all-star team, I want to say, here.
Yeah.
But I know he made some all-star teams on the Hawks.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Afterwards, late second-round pick, made it in the NBA, was from Louisiana Tech, just like Karl Malone. We love that. Yeah. Just seems like an all-around standout guy. He was a great defender, great shooter. We'll definitely miss him. Where do you think Paul Millsap ranks in Jazz history?
Oh, man.
Maybe even from power forwards.
Yeah, I was going to say in power forwards, he's definitely... I would probably put him on like Mount Rushmore.
Who's above him?
Of Jazz power forwards. Definitely Karl Malone, obviously. Maybe Carlos Boozer.
I'd say so. Lowry's probably not there yet, but he might.
No, yeah, he gets there
soon.
Although Lowry has an all-star with the Jazz.
That's true. Maybe Lowry is above him already.
Got the one up. Maybe they'd probably be like neck and neck. I don't know.
Just because I'd say Paul Millsap's longevity with the team.
Yeah.
But Lowry's had a better season.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know who else. AK-47's probably above him if you count him as a power forward.
Yeah, he kind of played the three, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but definitely. He definitely has a place in Jazz history, so it's his jersey won't be up in the rafters or anything, but congrats to him on a great career, and hopefully he does
I'll give you
cool.
Can you name all the teams Paul Millsap played for?
Okay, so we go Jazz, Hawks, was it Nets next, I think?
Jazz, Hawks, not Nets. Nets was later.
Okay.
You're missing two teams before that.
Where did he play next?
Eastern Conference.
I know he played for Denver, but that was later.
Oh, wait. Did you say Denver? That was before.
Oh, it was?
Yep. He played with Jokic.
Oh.
And they made the playoffs a year too.
For the Nets?
Okay, so you got Hawks, Jazz, Nuggets. You said Nets. One more team.
One more.
In 2022. So he's kind of old.
Oh, was it with Philadelphia?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I forgot about that,
I don't really think anybody remembers that, to be honest. But yeah, he played there.
Jazz and Hawks.
He got traded there or mid-season changed teams because
played
for the Nets and Sixers that season.
Yeah, he definitely all of his good years were with Atlanta and the Jazz. I guess a couple of these Denver seasons he averaged double digits.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah, 4-time All-Star, all in Atlanta. But you could argue that he had an All-Star type level in Utah. He had a year where he averaged 17 points.
Absolutely.
He played like 70 plus games pretty much every year for the Jazz. Great player.
It's kind of hard to, he was one of those that wanted to get out of the Utah market. So it's kind of hard to look past that sometimes, but I guess we're far enough away we can congratulate him.
Let's go. Yeah. He's always welcome back.
Absolutely.
And then another thing, I don't know if you listen to the Jazz have like their own podcast network, but Taylor Hendricks was on there talking about his injury, kind of where he's at right now.
Yeah.
It made me happy last night. They made a new ad with Hendricks. You know how there's the ad with him with Vivint?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like making sure my house is safe.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But they made a new one where he's got his boot on.
Let's go.
So I feel like that's nice because then I don't have to watch the other ad and be sad. But yeah, he talked about just the mental aspect of the injury.
Yeah.
He's definitely a man of faith, where he talked about how that's helped him through everything, his family. He talked about a lot of fans have been messaging him, like encouraging and showing support. So definitely happy about that. We have a good fan base.
Yeah, we
very supportive of him.
Yeah.
And then he's talked about how some other guys he's talked to have come back from this injury. It seems like something that he can recover from, it might be next season, right?
Yeah.
But he's just taking one day at a time. It seems like he's doing pretty well and very hard injury to deal with, right? We all watched that. But it seems like he's pretty mentally strong and he's kind of understanding the timetable and just planning for that. He said that he sees it as like a longer off season.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good way to frame it.
I think I've also seen some things about the Jazz, like, I don't remember who said it, but they said that, like, you know, it's not likely for summer league. Like, it's probably going to be like camp, you know, training camp.
Yeah.
Which I like because it's like we don't need to push him to come back earlier than he's ready. That's not going to help us or him. I like that the Jazz are willing to be patient. And we're already in a rebuild, so it's not like we're in a hurry.
Yep.
But we, sometimes it could be a temptation to be like, oh, we need him to play summer league. We need him to, like, get going again. But, you know, we'll just give him some time.
He'll
get back.
He can learn a lot from just watching film and being at the games too. I also love he mentioned how a lot of the other guys on the team, like Keontae, they want him there at the games, or they want him in the locker room, even if he's not going to play that night.
Yeah, it's
just because it builds that unity in the team. And
absolutely,
I think I've heard Keontae say this last night on the press conference that, like, having good chemistry on the team, it starts off the court, right? Yeah. You got to be friends.
Absolutely.
You got to work together, right? So I think it's good to see that he's still being involved and out there with the team in the locker room sometimes. So
yeah, which as a side note is cool that Keontae's already taken that leadership.
That's
what we want. I also saw, kind of changing tunes here, a little less sad, I guess. I saw this thing posted on social media the other day. Lauri Markkanen is now, as of this season, the longest active NBA player without a playoff appearance, which is kind of interesting.
I feel like I knew that, but it just is crazy stat.
Which, you know, it's kind of, I mean, what, he's 8 seasons in, I guess, something like that. Played at 3 rebuilding teams, pretty much. The Bulls and the Cavs were rebuilding at that time. So you kind of feel bad for him, but also we're building something great here for him. So hopefully he'll get a much more than just a playoff appearance and some playoff wins, you know?
Yeah, I think he understands where the team's at, and I think he's here for the long haul.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just kind of depends on the other guys on the team,
yeah,
what they become.
Yeah.
And That's the question we're all asking, right? And I think he can make it regardless of if it's here in the next couple of years or somewhere else. I think he'll get there, but
absolutely.
He'll have to wait just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's ready to help a competing team. Obviously, the Warriors were pushing hard for him. I'm sure they were not the only ones calling. That's just the ones we heard about the most. So he'll get his opportunity, whether here or somewhere else, but
yeah,
hopefully it's here.
Yeah. Kind of moving into some draft stuff.
Yeah.
This is interesting. It's very Jazz related about Dylan Harper. He's kind of rising up the draft boards a little bit at Rutgers. He's been playing really well. Son of NBA legend, maybe not legend, Ron Harper, or NBA champion.
Journeyman.
How about that?
Yeah.
But he just, Ron Harper, his dad, he responded to this tweet. I'll just read it. It's from a Jazz fan. They said, "As a Jazz fan, after last night, I'm embarrassed. We're tanking for Cooper Flagg, who shoots 29% from three, who I believe is AK 2.0. Dylan Harper, who will not come to Utah. His dad refused to come to Utah many years ago. Tanking doesn't guarantee anything." And then Ron Harper replied, he said, "Correct, a trade would happen." I think he's joking. But I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think Dylan Harper would just not want to come to Utah?
I could see it. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
Yeah,
obviously.
His dad refused to come, apparently.
I also think, like, just in general, even outside of the Jazz, I think, man, you just really have to be careful. I don't care if your dad's an NBA player. Like, other teams are seeing that too. I'm sure, like, if you're a team, like, I can't imagine that the Wizards is a better situation or a lot of these teams up in the lottery. So you got to be careful what you say. You could find yourself late in the lottery losing millions of dollars if you keep saying things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he'll learn from that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he did kind of redact the tweet a little bit, just like saying, hey.
I'm sure he realized.
Like, I don't think he knew that many people would see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter's a crazy place.
Yeah, it is.
But he just kind of said, like, yeah, of course, I would support him with wherever. And
yeah.
It's not really in his control, but interesting enough, just enough to bring it up.
Absolutely.
And then just, we thought we kind of go through some of the players the Jazz could potentially draft. Let's talk about Dylan Harper for a minute. I looked up his draft bio from NBA or sportsillustrated.com. Let me just read this for you. So he's 6'6", 220 pounds. He's 19 at Rutgers, right? He was a McDonald's All-American as a high schooler.
Mm.
And here's his bio. What stands out about Harper relative to other players his age is the poise. He's consistent and reliable with incredible natural feel on both ends. He's a smoothie lefty with length and has a frame that should have no problem adding weight to be an NBA ready as a rookie. He's isn't an elite athlete, but makes up for it in other ways. He's methodical, plays at his own pace, strong ability to create for himself, leveraging his size, and create advantages on offense. Very crafty player with the ball in his hands and has a wide variety of advanced moves. Deep bag he can go to when he needs to get to his spot. Yeah. Anyways, he's a great scorer, great shot creator.
Yeah.
Big frame, 6'6", and he does seem like he has point guard skills. He can run the pick and roll. He can dish the ball off to teammates and make the right decisions. I don't even know who to compare him to. He's like a more athletic James Harden that can't shoot as well. He only shoots like 29% from three.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I also think the whole like, he's not an elite athlete thing is funny because, like, if you look at the best players in the NBA right now, Luka Doncic and Jokic, and like, those guys are not elite athletes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think that's necessary. It's helpful, I guess, but it's not necessary in the NBA.
Yeah, he doesn't need to dunk on people every play or block shots into the fifth row, but that would be cool. But
it would be nice. But
he doesn't need to. I think he would fit with the Jazz pretty well.
Yeah.
Because Keontae has been our point guard, but we could use more point guard play.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And in addition, like, he is a great scorer as well. So I think he would fit great right next to Keontae as kind of a dual scoring guard lineup. And then Laurie fits with anybody.
Absolutely.
Just playing off the ball. So I think he would fit pretty good here. But
yeah, I think that's,
he'd probably fit anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah. I think as far as fit goes, I think he's probably the best fit of any guy we're looking at. Like, sometimes I question, you know, Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, and Yegor Demin are the other three that are kind of up there. And all those guys are like super tall. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's 6'6", but it's also like, that seems like it would get a little weird with Lowry kind of fitting with him. But Ace Bailey would just, I think you could move Keontae to the two. That's what he played in college. If he had a reliable point guard, you could ask him to do that.
He's still 6'4".
Yeah.
And he's a decent defender. He's been asked to guard a lot of the top guys on the other team. So he'll build into that defensive side.
Yeah, so I really like the fit. I think I really like the ability to like create shots. I think that's kind of what the Jazz are missing a little bit right now. There's not a ton of it. Lowry has that like post fade, which is really nice.
Yeah. Jordan Clarkson's probably our best shot creator, but he's getting towards the end of his time.
Yeah. Keontae George is kind of coming into it a little where you can like pull up and hit shots, which is nice. But, you know, in a late game situation, I don't know if I'd trust any of our guys to go get a bucket. So we need that guy.
Yeah. And then some other guys we've already talked about, Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
He's been still playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Just not shooting super efficiently.
No. Yeah. But
he's definitely a guy we want, right? We'll take him.
I think he's still, the number one guy on our board, should be. Yegor Demin. Oh, not so great against. Apparently, I saw a report. Providence said that this was the most NBA credentials that they've ever given out to a game.
Really?
Wow. So people are really eager to see Yegor Demin. Unfortunately for Yegor, he went 0 for 10. So
That's about as bad as you can get.
Not great, yeah. He had 6 points on free throws, and I think he had like 4 or 5 assists. So hopefully he still showed some of his playmaking, because I think that's more what he's like valuable for, is his playmaking. But
yeah, I definitely feel like every time I watch Yegor Demin, I feel like he settles too much for jump shots.
He passes a little too much, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, which I think, of course, like you're shooting jump shots, you're going to be a less efficient scorer. You need to get some paint shots or some floaters.
Especially if you're 6'9".
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I feel like he could settle a little bit less. It might help his percentages go up. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to tank his draft stock too much. Yeah. He's still one of the best like guard and facilitators in the draft.
Yeah. That's the thing. He's a freshman. It's only his third Power 5 basketball game he's ever played in. Or Power 4 now, I guess. And so hopefully NBA scouts will see and understand this is still...
going anywhere either. Yeah. They're going to watch the rest of the season. So.
Yeah, and he's getting used to American basketball. It's probably different than Russian, so...
Yeah. Love it. Okay, and then NBA news. We got the NBA Cup bracket.
Yes, sir.
It's Let's set. Go. We got four teams in the West, 4 teams in the East.
Yes, sir.
Let's see if we look at it.
In the West, we have Thunder and Mavericks as the 1-4 matchup, Rockets and Warriors as the 2-3. Then on the other side, you got Bucks and Magic at 1-4, and Knicks and Hawks at 2-3. Kind of some interesting matchups there.
Who's the biggest surprise to you in this bracket?
Oh, man. I know these are your boys, but the Bucks have not had a super hot start this season, so I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, they went on like a 5-game win streak. They've been coming back to .500.
Yeah.
Terrible start to the season, but now they're heating up.
But they do have the talent, so I guess not crazy surprising, but just a little. See them, they're in the 1 seed in the West, or in the East is kind of nice, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say my biggest surprise is the Hawks. Like, how did they get there?
Yeah,
and also, shout out to the Pistons. They were so close to making it over the Bucks.
Yeah.
They just barely missed the bracket.
Yeah, so I'm happy for them. I feel bad that they've been bad for so long.
They've still been mid, but they haven't been awful like they were last year.
They're winning some games this year,
So that's nice for them. So let's kind of predict, well, not predict every game, but let's predict like who you got from the West and the East and your champion.
Yeah.
So let's start with the West. Got some good options there. Thunder, #1 seed, Mavericks, Rockets, Warriors.
Yeah.
Who's coming out of that?
Well, I honestly think that the winner of that Thunder Mavericks game is going to go to the championship, but I'm going to say it's going to be the Thunder, I think.
I've got the Thunder as well.
I saw some stats last night. They're on pace to have the best defensive season in NBA history as a team.
Holy cow.
And we know what offensive talent they have, especially with Shea. It's like they're kind of scary right now, just in general. I think they could get to the championship.
I just saw them blow out the Jazz. Yeah. And I was like, yep, that's a good team.
Yeah, they're a really good team.
Jalen or J-Dub.
Yeah.
He's been playing really well too. He might get some all-star conversations.
I could see.
So I got Thunder as well. I do want to say the Rockets are a sleeper because they've been playing very well too. They've got Tari Eason and Amen Thompson coming off the bench that are both like in the sixth man of the year race just because of their impact defensively.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't count the Rockets out because they're one of those young and hungry teams that I think could surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
But then going over to the East, Bucks, Magic, and Knicks, Hawks. Who do you got from that?
So this might be kind of a hot take. I think it's going to be the Hawks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is a hot take.
It is a little bit hot. This is a tough side to predict. I think I watched a couple games where Zachary Risacher is starting to come into his own a little bit. I mean, he's still not looking like he should have been the number one pick, but I like him a lot. Trae Young had like a 40-point game last night against the Lakers. And also last year we saw a young team in the Pacers do well in the tournament. Maybe that's just the trend, having mid-season tournament with young teams. So I'm going to say the Hawks go the way.
Yeah, Trae Young's going to have to carry him.
Yeah, he is.
But they have been looking better recently.
A little bit.
They're also very mid.
Yeah, they are.
They win about as many games as they lose, but if they get on a hot streak, I could see them doing well.
I could see it, yeah.
I've got the Magic
in
this. Another maybe hot
without
take.
Without Paolo Banchero, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I still think I this Magic team is one of those, what would you call it, surprise. Well, I don't know. I think they haven't done well on national TV as much as I would have liked. But if you're not really like in tune with the Magic, you don't. They've been doing really well.
Oh yeah,
like they're a very good defensive team.
Jalen Suggs is making a case for defensive player of the year.
Yeah, he's on the all defensive team last year, I think.
Yeah.
Paulo, of course, is their best player. Hopefully, I don't know when he's coming back.
Franz Wagner's still having a really good season.
Yeah, Franz Wagner's been like having a very much bounce back year.
Yeah.
He's been taking over the number one spot while Paulo's gone.
Absolutely.
KCP's fit in like a glove. He looks good over there. So I don't know. I'm hoping for the Magic to see if they could kind of show the world what they've been up to.
I can see it.
They'll come out of the East.
Yeah.
So then who do you got as your champion?
I think it's going to be the Thunder.
Yeah, me too.
I think we saw last year experience wins in like big games like that. And Thunder
they've got one year of playoff experience though. Yeah,
that's true. But they have been together for a while. Like they've kind of been building those pieces. No Chet though, I guess. Yeah, Chet's
a lot of continuity over there.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, Thunder looking so good right now, it's hard to bet against them.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
We'll see if they end up winning it.
Speaking of people who are hard to bet against, holy crap, LeBron James, last night, 39-point triple-double.
My goodness.
He's currently, is he 40 yet? I cannot remember.
Yes, right?
He's 39, but his birthday's on the 30th, so he will be 40 in a couple of weeks. Oh my gosh. Like, okay. Like obviously I will disclaimer. I'm a LeBron fan. I think he's the greatest of all time, but, if you're an NBA fan, you got to watch this guy. This is like, we don't have much longer to enjoy an all time great, honestly. So just enjoy it while it lasts. Cause we might be come to an end soon. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron, he's still averaging 23.8 rebounds, 9 assists.
Yeah.
Very good. But I feel like LeBron, he's, I don't know. The Lakers did well to start the season. I know they're doing not as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's got what it takes to be a contender in the playoffs.
No.
It's getting to that point where like, yeah, he's doing amazing. The pieces around him aren't the greatest. AD's great, but he's also getting older.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can always rely on LeBron and AD anymore.
Yeah, LeBron can't be your best player.
Yeah.
But
that being said, I don't think there will ever be another player doing this at 40.
No.
And LeBron's that guy.
Yeah.
You just got to give him his flowers and just let him cook. Like, we don't know when he's going to stop. It's Not slowing down anytime soon, just in like his all-star level. He's still at that level.
Yeah, I think by the end of his career, that scoring record is going to be untouchable.
Yeah.
He's at 41,000 right now, which is like he's almost 3,000 ahead of Kareem in second place. Goodness. So
yeah,
if he adds a couple more thousand, if he plays another season or two, that record, he'll be on John Stockton's level of having untouchable records. So
yep,
pretty crazy. Good for him. How's your fantasy team doing?
They're all right. I was kind of 50-50 in the categories.
Yeah, it's
I'm
hard.
Killing everybody in rebounds.
Yeah.
I got Jared Allen, Zubac, Gobert.
Shoot.
And they all get 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah,
Zubac gets 12 a game. And I got Giannis. So
nice.
Like those four guys have been killing it with rebounds. But I've been struggling a little bit with like assists and steals.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, they're doing well. Giannis is probably the best fantasy player you could have now. So I'm very thrilled that he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, honestly.
How's yours?
Doing pretty good. I finally got my first win last week. I was 8-1. All right, yeah, 8-1. But the guy I was playing wasn't updating his team, so the only one was turnovers. and I'm tied this week with the guy who has the best record in the league.
Let's go.
We'll see if that lasts. I hope it does. 4-4-1 is what we're tied at right now. So kind of
been liking. I got Cam Johnson and Michael Porter on my team.
Nice.
They're both very good for three-pointers.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping Cam Johnson doesn't get traded and he just stays on the Nets and just keeps cooking.
Yeah.
If he gets traded, that might tank him a little bit. But he's been doing good. He's averaging 18 a game, which is crazy.
Shoot. That's nice.
So
I think the guy I'm most proud of drafting was Brandon Miller. He's had a couple of 30-point. He's had like 3 30-point games in the last 5 or 6 games. Averaging 21 a game right now. That's pretty good.
He's a beast.
I think he was like a 7th or 8th round pick for me, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just some local sports. Utah Hockey Club's been winning some games.
Yes, they have.
They did go on a losing streak for a little bit, but now they're back to winning.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. We went to the Vegas Golden Knight game a while ago.
Yeah.
Recently, they beat the Vegas Golden Knights on the road 6-0. Absolute cook fest. Wish we could have been in that game.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
In Vegas.
I think they scored their first goal that was on a opposite opponent's power play.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. We hit that milestone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any other thoughts from them? We're starting to get to that point in the season where we kind of figure out how good they're actually going to be. And it seems like they're very much like the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I could agree. One interesting note, I saw this on Instagram yesterday. Our boy Tiju Ginla, who we drafted, what was our first round pick, I think, right?
Yeah, our lottery pick.
Just had season ending surgery.
No.
But apparently he was balling over there in the, I don't know what the WHL is, but I know that's where he's playing.
Right.
Maybe it's Washington Hockey League. I don't even know. Probably not. But anyways, apparently he was hooping or pucking.
Skating.
Yeah, something, whatever. He had like 34 points. I think points is like assists and stuff combined. But so hopefully he comes back healthier, better than he was before.
Yeah, we're currently 6 points out of the wild card.
Okay.
We got 24 points.
That's just 2 wins. Yeah.
Yeah. Edmonton has 30 points. They're in the wild card spot right now.
Okay.
So we're in it.
Could get that, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, I think they play an 80 game season too.
Yeah. 80.
So we're only
games.
A quarter of the way in. We could figure some things out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to play spicy tuna more. I think that's what the problem
is. Just kind of shake things up a little bit, punch some guys.
Yeah, I think so. We need more fights. So we need that dog in us.
Yeah, and then we already talked about BYU basketball a little bit, but they finally played some Power 5 teams. We beat
NC State.
NC State lost to Ole Miss, but probably should have won that one.
Yeah, that was a close game.
Providence was a headache. We talked about that.
Yeah.
How do you feel with BYU going into the Big 12 play? Like, do you think they'll have a chance against Arizona or Baylor or Kansas? Do you think we'll be able to beat one of them?
I think we'll get a couple surprises. I think we'll be like a competitive team.
Right.
I was really impressed with us and San Diego over the Thanksgiving, like that little tournament we played in.
Yeah.
We should have beat Ole Miss. It's okay that we didn't. But we did bounce back, and we had a really solid, just complete game against NC State. Providence was just shooting the cover off the ball against us, and we were on the road in the Big East.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on our main guy, Yegor Demen. And Cannon Ketching didn't play well either. I think he shot like 2 for 8 or something.
So, well, our Big 12 play starts on December 31st against Arizona State. Okay. And then in January, we basically only, we only play Big 12 teams in January. Mm. We'll play Houston on the 4th, Cincinnati 25th, Baylor 28th. Those are all like top 15 ranked teams in the league. So it's going to be some hard games. Then Kansas we'll play in February.
Yeah.
Maybe by then we'll have a chance. I don't know if Kansas will still be the number one team at that point.
Yeah.
But, and then Iowa State right now is ranked number 6. So like the Big 12 is looking great.
Yeah, they are. Something kind of cool too, BYU plays Wyoming next Saturday at the Delta Center.
Yeah.
So it seems like they've been doing that every year, playing a game there. But it's cool to see them on the NBA arena. It usually fills up pretty good. So
love it.
Kind of fun. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode, catching up on all of our games we missed over the Thanksgiving holiday season. We hope you had an amazing time with your family. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've been talking about different parts of the Jazz, guys that are retired, things like that. So go check those out. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram. And we hope that you take care. Peace.